Going to finish this message today. This is the power of forgiveness. You can go ahead and pull that. This is part four, so we've been talking about this for 3 weeks. The theme has been, I'm telling you, I had this message ready a month before it was time to preach it. And then we go to conference with Pastor Mike, the conference he was having, and he deals with this subject very heavily. And then another pastor friend of mine that's closely related, Pastor Brian Fitkin was telling him about this, that we were teaching this. He goes, man, this is what God had us teaching on as well at our church. And so apparently this is the theme. And then we've heard prophetic word about this morning. This is the theme. God wants his people to be free from offense so that we can truly function the way he ordained for us to function. So this is based on the fact that Jesus told his disciples to forgive their offenders. He said, forgive your offenders. And he didn't even say, only when they say, I'm sorry. Why? Because of what that does to us when we hang on to that. So forgive your offenders. We said there's five things about forgiveness that we need to know. Now, we talked about what forgiveness is not as well, and that, in other words, forgiveness is not trusting a person necessarily. Forgiveness does not mean that you have to go put yourself in some kind of a danger or anything like that. Forgiveness does not mean that you don't set healthy boundaries. There must be healthy boundaries put in place, okay? Like they say, good fences make good neighbors, right? Healthy boundaries are a good thing, but we said the first thing about it is, again, forgiveness is not a suggestion. It is a command. It's commanded. Why? Because we absolutely will destroy ourselves if we allow unforgiveness to remain in our hearts. Secondly, we said that forgiveness is limitless. There's not a magic number out there that says, well, you can forgive a person up to this many times and then you don't ever have to forgive them again. And in the Jewish mindset, that's the way it was, right? And the Jewish rabbis taught that you can forgive up to three times, or that you should forgive up to three times. And they thought they were being pretty gracious to let somebody three times be forgiven for the same offense. Well, Peter, thinking he's going to be really gracious, goes to Jesus and he says, hey, Jesus, what if I'm willing to forgive him seven times? And he's looking for a pat on the back. And Jesus says, not seven times, 77 times, right? And we explain that he says in the King James, the old King James says 70 times seven. Now, most people explain and say, well, that's 490 times, right? But again, that's old King James language. The way that's written, it actually means 70 plus seven. When it said 70 times seven, it's saying 70 times, and then you add seven to it. Okay, most people don't understand that, and I grew up the same way, thinking it was multiplying something, but it's not that. It was Jesus turning a revenge principle into a forgiveness principle, and that is based on, because in Genesis 4:24, Lamech, and they would have all known this because they knew the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, these people would have known that. And Lamech said, if Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's revenge is 77-fold. So Jesus is turning this revenge principle into a forgiveness principle. Peter comes up and says, hey, what if I forgive seven times? And Jesus says, how about 77 times? What he's really saying is forgiveness is limitless. It's not about a magic number, right? So, and here's the thing. If you are counting up to 77 times, then you never really forgave them in the first place. Because if you are counting, that means you never let it go. Right? All right. So it's limitless. Number three, unforgiveness will bring incredible hardships into your life. And we all know that. We all know people who are absolutely miserable because they're just so eaten up with bitterness and unforgiveness. And not only that, but it rots the bones. It makes people sick. I mean, it's a horrible thing. I posted the other day, I don't have the actual statistics up in front of me right now, but you know, a lot of the problems that we have, they say, has to do with our diet, has to do with what we eat, right? And has to do with other things, you know, maybe it's smoking or whatever it is. There's a lot of things we do that harms our bodies. But what they have found out that although those things do affect us, the reason we do those things many times is because we have an issue on the inside we never dealt with. And so Pastor Mike Miele says it this way, although the food, the diet, all that stuff is important, he says, but it's not so much what you're eating as it is what's eating you, right? Forgiveness will cause a person to be miserable and will make everybody else around them miserable. And here's what's so horrible about it. When a person holds that, that flows down from generation to generation to generation, which is why you have, you know, family feuds that went on for generation after generation. They don't even know what they're mad about. They just know we don't like them and they don't like us. The Hatfields and McCoys. So when we have that in our life, it literally cuts off blessings to us. And not only does it cut off blessings to us, but it also literally will cut off our ability to be forgiven. Because Jesus said, if you don't forgive, I can't forgive you. The Father will not forgive you if you refuse to forgive. All right? So then we said that forgiveness is an act of the will. And it's important to understand that because, listen, it's not about feelings. And if you think you got to feel it before you forgive, you'll never forgive. It's not about feeling. It's you letting the Holy Spirit inside of you rise up in your spirit and saying, you know what, soul, mind, will, and emotions, feelings, all that. You know what? I know this is what you feel, but the Spirit of God says, make the choice. So when I surrender my mind, will, and emotions, my thinking processes, my choices, and the way I feel, when I submit that to the Spirit of God, then he enables me to actually walk this thing out, right? And so I make the choice. I say, Lord, I want it your way. It's like I always say, Christianity is making the final choice to let God make all the rest of our choices. And so I make the choice to forgive even though I don't feel it, but I make the choice. And as I make the choice, now God has something to work with. And what I found is the feelings will eventually follow. And in fact, if you'll do it like Jesus did and begin to actually pray for that person, then what will happen, you'll find yourself shedding tears for that person and really loving that person because you start to see them the way Jesus sees them in their brokenness. And you start to see that the only reason they're that way is because of the things that they have gone through themselves many times, and also they are being tormented by a demonic presence that they don't know how to get rid of, and they need you to pray for them. And think of it this way: God allows them to offend you in hopes that you, a child of God, would love enough to do things the way Jesus did. And knowing that as a child, you can pray with authority that actually makes a difference in their lives and gives them an opportunity to come to repentance. So forgiveness is a choice. And I've often said, when somebody comes against a child of God, you have extra authority to pray specifically for that person, to pull them out of stuff that they could never get out of by themselves. All right, and then number five, this is where really I think we start today, but forgiveness is an act of faith. You know, unforgiveness is something that has to be uprooted in our lives. Uprooted. I want you to see where in the scripture where Jesus ties it to faith, but Let me give you some scriptures that show that unforgiveness has roots. And this is the picture that it gives us, right? It has roots. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 and 15, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, and that root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Now I want you to notice here that that root of bitterness actually keeps the grace of God from being able to work in your life. And he says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it may become defiled. And again, as I said, this thing travels down through family. It travels down generation after generation, this root of bitterness. Man, usually when you find parents who are bitter, you're going to find children who are bitter. And then their children will be bitter. And they're mad at the world, and they got a victim mentality. And everybody, you know, everybody's against me. And so Luke chapter 17, verse 3 through 6. Pay attention to yourselves. Everybody say, pay attention to yourselves. Now tell yourself, pay attention to yourself. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. Now understand, many times people want to be forgiven, but they don't want to be rebuked, right? But also, many people want to rebuke, but they're not willing to forgive. So he says, you got to do both. Now, to rebuke somebody doesn't mean you're being ugly to them. It just means you're telling truth, right? But then it says, and if he sins against you seven times in a day, and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Now, we already know that we are entitled, or not entitled, but required to forgive whether they ever even ask for forgiveness, whether they ever even apologize, because there's a good chance you're never going to get that apology. And as many times as we've said, you may be offended by someone who has no idea they've even offended you. And they don't know what they've done to offend you. It may be a complete misunderstanding on somebody's part. And so if we'll do it the way Jesus says, there's no room for that to stay in place. And so basically, we've been taught, forgive them for sure. If they come to you even seven times and they ask for forgiveness, we'll do it. But also, I believe the scripture teaches that you should live in an attitude of forgiveness, to where even if they do something to you to offend you, before they ever even ask for it, whatever you do, don't start dwelling on it and make the choice right then, Lord, I forgive. Now, how many of you know we get this knee-jerk flesh reaction that happens, right? Right? Somebody pulls out in front of you. Your first thought isn't, Lord, I forgive them. You know, they pull in your spot that you were looking at Walmart. They come up the wrong way to take it from you and then give you a dirty look. Your first thought is not, Lord, I forgive them. They cuss you out, call you a dirty name, say stuff about you, slander you, whatever. Your first thought is not to forgive them. That's a supernatural thing. That's when you have to allow the Spirit to take charge, because what's natural is anything but that. So here's where he starts tying it to faith, because he tells them this thing about forgive them seven times here. And then the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Now, that's in the context of him talking about forgiveness, right? And they say, increase our faith. There's nowhere else in the scripture that I've found where the apostles tell Jesus, increase our faith. They saw him raise the dead, heal the sick. He sent them out to do those same things. They never said, Lord, increase our faith. But when he said, I need you to forgive them, even though they keep doing it against you, they said, Lord, increase our faith. And this is what the Lord said. If you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, what does he say? Be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, we use that scripture, rightly so, to deal with any issue that we're dealing with in life. Sickness, disease, some problem coming against us. But in its context right here, he's talking about forgiveness. Why? Because that thing's got roots. And he uses the picture of a mulberry tree because he understands unforgiveness has roots. And you have to, by faith, speak to that thing, refuse to let it stay. And he says, you say to that mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea. In other words, somewhere where you ain't affecting me anymore, right? So again, we have the picture there of that unforgiveness has roots, and you got to kill that thing. You gotta get the roots out. I've noticed something. You know, we have a garden and we've got some, we do have flower beds, but we've got some beds out there. And last year I know at least 80 bags of mulch. Tilled all that stuff up and put at least 80 bags of mulch. You know, they're pretty big beds. And I'm telling you, it seemed like one day I went out there and was like, oh, the garden looks so good. And the next day, weeds everywhere. Like, how in the world did that even happen? And I think sometimes it's because there's just a little bit of root left down there in that dirt. And you may look like you got it all cleaned out. Oh, I came to Jesus. He cleaned my life up. He washed all my sins away. I'm brand new and all. But if there's any of them little roots down in there still, them jokers are going to show up, and they're going to do it with a vengeance. And I've noticed there's some that I can walk in there and I can just grab it with my hand and pull it right up. And there's others that when I pull it, I almost fall because they ain't going nowhere. And it takes something bigger and stronger than me to get it out. So again, these are pictures that he's given us about how this works in our life, this unforgiveness. But if by faith you choose to forgive, and now you choose to speak to that unforgiveness and say, you cannot stay in me now. I uproot you in the name of Jesus, and I cast you into the sea. You cannot affect my life any longer. But it's by faith that you do that. And he's telling us it's our responsibility to do that. You know, you can come to somebody and you could say, please pray for me. Please pray for me that I can forgive. And you can do that all day long. But if you don't make the choice and you don't speak to it by faith, if you don't uproot it, guess what? They showing back up. All right, so Matthew chapter 13, verse 6. Here's another one just to kind of demonstrate the power of root. It says, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. So this is actually talking about those who come to Christ and they don't allow themselves to be rooted in Christ. When that happens, when the sun comes, the hard times come, because they don't have root, they wither away. Well, that works the other way as well. That wicked stuff, if it has no root, it can't stay. Now, he does want us now to be rooted in him. And it's very important that we do that, because remember the story about, you know, it talked about casting out a demon and says, yeah, well, you cast this one out. But if the house is not filled with the right spirit, then that one that left is going to get some buddies and they coming back. Right. So not only do we need to uproot stuff in our lives, but we need to get ourselves thoroughly rooted in the right things, in the presence of God, in the word of God, in the love of God, and we allow those things to root in us. All right, now here's the final main point. Reconciliation is always the answer. It's always the answer. We cannot afford any areas of unforgiveness in our life. If reconciliation is possible, we need to do it. I spoke for weeks on that. Okay, about dealing with the offender. Now, this is more dealing with you and your heart issue, but part of that is you gotta try. You have to at least try to have reconciliation if it's possible. And again, reconciliation with boundaries if necessary, but reconciliation. All right, we must keep our conscience clear and we must keep ourselves reconciled to others if possible. And here's a key. Don't dwell on it. Don't dwell on the hurt. Pastor Cindy said it earlier, and I want to add a little something. If you rehearse or nurse a hurt, it becomes a curse. Because how many of you know, sometimes we get hurt, and some kind of weird way, we get comfort out of hanging on to that thing. And we comfort ourselves because what we're really saying is, I'll never let this happen again. I'll never open myself up to this again. Ain't no one ever going to hurt me like this again. And we nurse that thing. Boy, we pet that thing. We feed that thing. And that thing gets so big it begins to take over our life and we don't even know it. Was it the ugly duckling story? I don't know if y'all remember, but I remember a story about, I think it was the ugly duckling where this thing, it wasn't a duck, right? And I remember hearing the story about I forget which bird it was, but it was a bird that would go, it might have been the cuckoo bird, but would go and lay its egg in the nest of a much smaller bird and then fly away, let the other bird take care of it. And that thing would starve them all to death because you couldn't feed it. All the other little birds were this big and this thing's like a big swan or something up in the nest. Quah, 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 you know. You can't feed it enough. Well, it's the same way with unforgiveness. You'll never be able to feed it enough. It's just, we've got a voracious appetite, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So if you rehearse or nurse that hurt, it becomes a curse. So you've got to command your soul. Again, rise up. Let the Holy Spirit rise up in you. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. You let the Spirit rise up and tell that soul what it's going to do. In other words, you tell your will what it's going to choose. You tell your feelings how they're going to feel, right? You tell your intellect what it's going to think on. David said in Psalm 103, when he was going through a hard time, when he could have easily just felt sorry for himself and everything else, he said instead, bless the Lord, O my soul. That's his spirit rising up saying, soul, mind, will, and emotions, I know you don't feel like blessing the Lord right now, but you're going to bless the Lord. And he began to go ahead and sing praises and say, and I remember all your benefits, Lord. I remember all the things you made available for me. I refuse to focus on this negative thing. In Romans 12, 14 through 18, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Well, tell somebody, well, that ain't natural. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Listen, if you're operating in wisdom that doesn't come from the wisdom of heaven, then you're operating in the wrong wisdom. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. And if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Now listen, we understand. Sometimes it's not possible. Sometimes you can try. And again, sometimes you have to make boundaries. You have to. You know, people say, well, I don't understand. Well, you know, why would you make a boundary? Well, that keeps you from killing each other. That's what that does. You can live in peace and you can live in love without resentment and have healthy boundaries. All right, so I want to tell y'all a story. Some of y'all, mom for sure knows this story, but there was a young man, he's still alive today. In fact, he and his mom and dad pastor a church in Waco, Texas. This young man's name was Cody Leger. Cody, the first time he ever preached was here in Iowa. He was 11 years old, right? And so this young man, his biological mother neglected him and abused him severely. He had broken bones. He was blind. He was on oxygen because of the damage done to his lungs. Cody was only a little baby. He was a little bitty infant baby. They did not think Cody was going to live. And so the state of Texas said about Cody that he was the most abused child on record to have experienced that kind of abuse and actually live. Yeah. Cody was never supposed to be able to sing. They didn't think he'd ever talk. In fact, what they told his adoptive parents, Danny and Lynn Leger, what they told him is, listen, he's probably not even going to live. But while he's alive, he needs someone to love him. And they said, we'll take him. But they didn't just take him and love him. Listen, his mother, Cody's mother, the biological mother, was a drug dealer. She was not only drug dealing, but she was prostituting her children. Later, she was convicted. She was sent to prison for the murder of Cody's sister, in which she had two of the other children killed because that sister stood up and said, I will not prostitute for you anymore. So she had two of her other kids kill her. And it was horrific. And so Cody was adopted by a very godly couple, Danny and Lynn, very godly people. And they raised him to be a godly young man. But when they got him, they began to immediately pray for him and begin to declare God's word over him. And listen, how many of you ever heard Cody? Ever heard him preach or heard him sing? Amazing, incredible, right? They prayed for him. They raised him up from his deathbed through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you, he learned how to play the keyboard and sing, and it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And he's recorded several CDs and that kind of thing. But man, he became a powerful preacher at the age of 11. He would have his Bible out in Braille because he couldn't see. But he would read that Bible and he would preach. And he's preached here many times over the years. But again, they're pastoring a church in Waco now. But listen, during one meeting that Cody was preaching, because there for a while they literally were traveling all over the country. And one meeting where he was preaching, he was faced with a challenge that he had never had to face before. He was 18 years old at this time. And Cody's biological mother, the woman who had abused him so terribly and left him for dead some 18 years earlier, showed up at his meeting. That night, Cody's heart wasn't flooded with hate. It wasn't flooded with victimhood. It wasn't flooded with, why would you do this to me? It was flooded with emotion, but the love of God rose up in him. And he told his mother that he had forgiven her. And those words broke something in her. Those words, they said she was so broken and so overwhelmed by those words. She said, how could you forgive me? How? But she was broken by that. And that night, Cody introduced his mother, who had abused him and neglected him, to Jesus Christ. And she became a believer. Amen? And it all happened with this phrase, I forgive you. I forgive you. There is great power in forgiveness. That's why I call this message the power of forgiveness. It's not just a rule that we better keep so God will forgive us. That's important. But there's power in forgiveness. It will break chains from people's lives, starting with you. Forgiveness does not change the past. Nothing can change the past, but it does enlarge the future. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 7. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So you root up the other stuff and you start getting rooted in him. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through 21, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Anybody want to be strengthened with his power in your inner being from his Spirit? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Listen, I want to be filled with the fullness of God. He made it available. Why not, right? Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Listen, we refuse to be prisoners of unforgiveness any longer. That's what we've been declaring over this church. We refuse to hang on to something that's going to keep us in shackles. We're going to live free by the power of the Holy Spirit because we choose to forgive. Amen. And there's a good chance you may have to forgive somebody before you get out the parking lot today. But you got to choose to walk in it. You got to choose to say, well, I'm not going to let this build up and keep counting it again. I refuse to let it get a grip. I'm not going to let it root down even a centimeter into my life. The moment it happens, Lord, I choose to forgive. Again, that's not the knee-jerk reaction. But the moment you can let your spirit, get your spirit to regain control immediately, Lord, I choose to forgive them. I will not let that offense imprison me. There is great power in forgiveness. Choose to forgive. Ask God for the grace to live no longer as that prisoner. Remember, we're going to end with this. If Jesus could say, as he was being crucified, so cruelly beaten, bruised, spit on, mocked, his beard pulled out. I mean, nails through his hands and his feet. His guts hanging out because of the cat of nine tails they whipped him with as he hung on an old, rugged, rough cross, having to pull himself up because all of his joints were separated and pull himself up to say these words, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. If Jesus could do that for you and me, then I can certainly forgive that person for what they've done. Because what they've done to me is nothing compared to what our sin did to Jesus. We can forgive those who have offended us and acted like enemies toward us. Now, this is the last one on this. And we've been every week giving people an opportunity. Ask the Lord. Be asking the Lord. Is there anything in there? Is there anything rooted in there that needs to come out? Is there anything that needs to go? Listen, in my life, I had to root things out that happened all the way from the time I was a little bitty kid. And times when something would bring that up, something that, because this is what we do. Sometimes we just suppress it way down there. We don't want to think about it because it's too painful. But at some point in time, you got to let God root that out because it'll be the source of shame. It'll be the source of all kinds of things in your life that are bringing destruction. And you don't have to have that. You can be free. Amen. You can be free. Like Trace said, that bird right there, you don't have to be in chains. You just fly. Amen. You soar like an eagle. You can be free. Let's stand to our feet. Now, I want you to understand, I'm not saying that you need to live your life as a doormat, letting people just take advantage of you or your family or harm you in any way or steal from you or any of that stuff. But you got to keep your heart right. You put boundaries, but you don't let bitterness. So today, I'm just going to ask you, maybe the Lord chose you. Maybe there's something there. Maybe there's something that you've struggled with. Maybe there's a memory that comes up from time to time that really you struggle with, and you feel the pain of that, and you realize that that thing has held you down. That thing has caused shame in your life. That thing has caused you to live below what Christ created you to live. And now's a good time to let that go. And this is what we're going to do. We're just going to make the choice. We're going to make the choice, and we're going to expect the Holy Spirit to move in and do what needs to do to clean it all up. Amen? Now, if this applies to you in any way, shape, or form, then why don't you just lift your hands to the Lord and just let him begin to do that work. Oh, God, every person in this room I know has been hurt. They've been offended. Lord, every person in this room has had to deal with this thing about unforgiveness at times. But Father, we want to live free from that. So Lord, we make the choice right now. Go ahead and say, if you mean it, go ahead and tell them, Lord, I make the choice. I choose to forgive. Oh God, by your grace, I will walk this out. Holy Spirit, empower me to live this out, to live free of offense. I speak to unforgiveness now. I root you up and I cast you into the sea. You have no more power over me, and neither do the memories. I declare that I am free through the blood of Jesus. Lord, I receive your grace to do that. Father, I know that there will be opportunities when we leave out of this place. There will be plenty of opportunities to have to walk this out and to practice this. Lord, even though we may have dealt with past offenses, I know there will be new offenses that come. But Father, by your grace, Lord, we will not be held captive by them. Lord God, we will not rehearse them. Lord, we will not allow them to take us down anymore. But Father, I thank you that we'll walk in the same forgiveness that Jesus walked in. Lord, by your grace, Jesus said, we could do anything on this earth that he did. And Lord, he refused to allow unforgiveness in his heart. That means we can do the same. And so, Father, we thank you for that. I pray for supernatural wisdom as well with how to put healthy boundaries. Lord, supernatural wisdom with how to deal with situations in a way, Father, that keeps our heart clean and our conscience clear. And we thank you for that, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus.